Some of you will understand some of that introduction we had at the beginning. The rest of you are wondering, who's this bloke that's come? Is he a real bishop or what? I actually have got a purple jumper down here, and I was getting a bit cold, but I decided I definitely weren't going to put it on after the introduction. Just to say that I was here at Welton for 16 years, about 20 years ago. That's, as I look at some of you, that means you're getting older. Is that all right? I went to be the minister at a place called Seaford, a place between Brighton and Eastbourne, and we were there for just over 8 years. And 8 years ago, we came and moved back. Don't worry about this. You'll understand this in a minute. We came back to a place called Nailsea between Bristol and Weston-super-Mare, and I was the pastor there for 8 years. And then January the 1st, I became what's called a regional minister for the West of England Baptist Association. Bishops, we don't have bishops. Apart from if you go to Africa, then they do have Baptist bishops. My main role is to support churches in North Somerset, Bristol and Wiltshire, to help oversee, and I'm overseeing two new church plants or missional communities at the moment, and also to work alongside churches that are going through really difficult situations. So that's sort of my role, and I've been doing it from January the 1st, and that's why people keep taking the mickey out of me being a bishop. Let's just pray, shall we? Father God, as we open up your word this morning, we pray for that touch of your Holy Spirit that opens our minds, our thinking, our emotions, that, Lord Jesus, that we may respond to what you're saying to us. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 years ago, I took a team to Malawi, and when we came back, I was quite ill. Actually, I was sick non-stop for 19 hours. And on the flight back, the air stewardess asked did I needed a doctor, and thankfully we had a doctor on the team anyway. The only thing is, when we stopped in the interim, I laid flat on the floor in an African airport, and all they kept doing is leaning over and asking, is he still breathing, which is really encouraging. But when I came back to the UK, they rang at the doctor's surgery, and I went straight away, and they gave me an injection, which stopped me being sick. But then it came, well, I won't go into any more details, but the things came out in other places instead. But I lost weight, believe it or not, just over a stone and a half in a matter of days. Well, the doctor at that point decided, Gary, we haven't seen you in a long time. We're going to do a bit of a checkup. So, you know, when you're not feeling well, they then come along and take like a gallon of blood from you. I took about 7-8 different types of things. They put heart monitors on. They check your height. They do everything you can imagine. Thankfully, at the end of it, nearly everything was okay, apart from my kidneys that weren't working quite well. But actually, that's been okay since. But actually, when you go to the doctors and have that checkup, a heart checkup in particular, as long as your blood pressure's right and all the minerals in your body is okay, it just reveals you're in a good place. When I rang up John and said, John, what's the theme for this morning's service? He said, well, actually, we're between themes as a church. It's up to you. And when I sat down and thought about coming today, I thought it'd be good for us to do a bit of a heart checkup, if that's okay. Is there any doctors and nurses here? Oh, one. Okay, so I do need to be careful. Oh, two. Be careful what I need to say at this point. Because I want to do a heart checkup specifically, where's your heart with God? Where's your heart with God? Some interesting details about the heart. Your heartbeat changes with the mimics of music you listen to. So if you're listening to something really punchy, Pete, your heart pounds. I've tried this one out and it works. Eating dark chocolate every day reduces the risk of heart disease by 1/3. And I'm doing really well with that one. Really good. What about this one? You are, for you, John and Mary, is that okay? Couples who are in love synchronize their heart rates after gazing into each other's eyes after 3 minutes. Does that work, John? Oh. Let me ask you again, what's your heart really like? If you have a Bible, I'd invite you to open that passage in John chapter 21. John chapter 21. Verse 15 onwards. When they finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he says, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said, "Take care of my sheep." He said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Because Jesus has asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus turns to Simon Peter and says, and if you have an NIV, it says, "Do you truly love me?" And Peter responds, "Yes, Lord, I love you." Now, I'm no great Greek scholar, but I do know that this passage, we need to understand the words that are being used here to truly understand what the passage has to say. There's two words here used here in regards of love. There's the word agape, that love that God shows off, that overwhelming love. It's a vibrant love. If you want a modern translation of that love, it's passionate. It means everything that you have. The other word used here is philo, that affection, sort of, you know, you love them, but they're just your mate. Now, you know that I know Terence Russell for years. Do I love him? Well, if you're asking me, do I love him passionately with everything that I have, the answer is definitely no. Sorry, mate. If you're asking me, do I have an affection for him as a brother, as a friend? Yes, I do. Now, as you look at this passage, let me see if we can unpack and work out what Jesus is asking of Peter. Peter, he says, "Do you passionately, overwhelmingly love me?" Peter turns around and says, "Lord, I have an affection for you." Jesus turns around to him again and says, "Peter, do you passionately love me with everything that you have?" Peter turns around and says, "Lord, you know I have an affection for you." Then all of a sudden, Jesus turns and says to Peter, "Peter, do you have an affection for me?" Peter gets upset at this point and he says, "Lord, you know I have an affection for you." You see, it's important at this point in the story that Peter does get upset with what's been happening. You know, here's the one who said, "Lord, I would never deny you. Lord, I would never walk away from you. Lord, I will stand there." And several days later, as we know of this story, he denied Jesus. He'd walked away. He'd gone back to fishing. Here is this person realizing again that actually he isn't in the place that he actually should be. And where Jesus longs him to be. No wonder he gets upset. The other reason I think he gets upset with all of this is because Jesus starts off and says, "Do you love me passionately?" While Peter's honest and says, "No, Lord, I have an affection for you." So when Jesus said to him, "Peter, do you have an affection for me?" He understands here that Jesus comes down to his level, where he is today. Let me start off and ask you, how is your pulse towards God? What's your heart like? Do you love him passionately? If you do, I just want to encourage you in that. If you're going to be honest with some of us and actually say, "No, I'm like Peter, I have an affection for him, I couldn't say I love him passionately," you need to hear these words of Jesus when he says, "I understand where you are and I come to meet you where you are. Now, it's easy to have these words, isn't it? Agape and passionate, but what do they mean? Well, again, if you have a Bible, I wonder if you can turn with me to a passage in Luke chapter 10. How did Jesus answer this question to love God passionately? How did he answer it? Luke chapter 10, in verse 25, gives us an account. On one occasion, an expert of the law stood to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What's written in the law? He replied, how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. How do we love God passionately? Well, we start off by loving him with all our heart. That means everything that we have, pure devotion to him. Now, before we misunderstand and we jump in and it's talking, we come to the conclusion it's talking all about emotion. Again, we need to understand something of Jewish thought in all of this. Let's have a look. Jonathan, Kath. Yeah. How do you say to Kath that you love her? What do you say to her? I love you with all my
money.
I love you with all my money. Oh, in my heart. Actually, Jewish thought means when actually you talk about heart, it's talk about your thinking. You think with your heart. What you should be saying to Kath when you get home is, Kath, I love with you all my gut. Because Jewish understanding is that actually you feel with your gut. You know, when you're uptight, your stomach tightens up. When you're relaxed, you feel relaxed. So when you go home, you can be really passionate and say, Kath, I love you with all my stomach, all my innards, all my gut. You're all that means mean to me. So when Jesus turns and says, do you love the Lord your God with all your heart? What he's actually turning around here is, do you love him with all your devotion? Is he the single aspect of your thinking and your desires? Is he the one that means everything to you? I quite like A.W. Tozer, and he writes this, we're called to an everlasting preoccupation with God. That's lovely, isn't it? Everlasting preoccupation with God. I love you with all my heart. I love you with all my soul. That emotion that's a part of us. We can't be sterile as Christians. But you're maybe saying, Gary, that's fine with you. You're maybe a bit more touchy-feely, a bit more emotional about things. But we all are. We all get emotional about stuff. No, I support the best team in this country, Man United. Well, all of a sudden, some of you are getting rather emotional already. Actually, if you only watch parents with their children, you're sure how much emotion that we have. And Jesus says, if you're going to love me passionately, you're going to need to have pure devotion, but you're also going to have some passion about it. I've enjoyed this morning, Scott. Thanks for leading us in worship. It's been good to express to God that we love him. With all our strength. You see, Christianity isn't just about what we feel and what we think. It's got to be lived out, folks. In the things that we say, in the things that we do. Unless our love is shown, unless our strength is used in all of this, it means absolutely nothing. That's why Paul says, you've got to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. Work with all your heart, he says in Colossians. Then he comes round and says, love the Lord your God with all your mind. You know, we're told that we only use 10% of our brains at any given time. 10%. Just imagine what it would be if maybe God can unlock the 90% of our brains. there's a logic about faith too. I'm just not thinking and feeling and swayed one way or another. I love God with my brain. I think it through. So when Jesus says to Peter, "Do you love me passionately?" He's saying, "Do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength?" Let me ask you this question again this morning. And I don't want you to tell me, but I do want you to be honest. What's your heart like towards God today? Is it beating passionately? Or are you where Peter's at? "Lord, I have an affection for you." For a brief moment, turn back to that passage in John 21, but keep a finger in Luke chapter 10. Something interesting happens here. And it's quite bizarre, the conversation that goes on. "Peter, do you love me passionately?" Peter responds, "Lord, I have an affection for you." Jesus suddenly comes out with these words, "Feed my lambs." "Peter, do you love me passionately?" Peter says, "I have an affection for you." Jesus suddenly turns around and says, "Care for my sheep." "Peter, do you have an affection for me?" "Yes, Lord, you know I have an affection for you." "Peter, feed my sheep." You see, it's not just about a love for God. It's about a love for God's people. And that's why Jesus directs Peter straight back. Is what's your relationship with the God's people around you? Have a quick look to the left. Have a look at them. I know they're a bit strange. To your right. Even have a quick look behind you. Have a quick look. Yeah. What does Galatians tell us? Let's do good for all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. When I was in pastor at not my last church, but another church, we had a couple that used to come along, and they used to sit in the chairs a bit like this. Didn't smile there every week, but sat. They were just there. In the end, I picked up courage and I went and saw them. And I sat down and asked them a couple of questions. I won't say their names. I said, "Do you love God?" And they said, "Gary, we love God with all our hearts." And fantastic, amazing. And I said, "Do you love the people at church?" The smile suddenly went off their face and sort of, "Well, there's some people at church we get on with. We've got a few friends. There are other people who drive us right at the wall." So I asked them the question again, "Do you love God?" And they smiled and they came alive. And I asked them again, "Do you love people? Do you love God's people?" "Well, we love some people, but not others." Well, our conversation went on, and I won't give you all the ins and outs of it, but just to say that in a very short time, they moved on to another church. Actually, they used to still come back to us at Christmas and the services. But something dramatically happened at that point. In our services, God's Spirit had a freedom to work. That's why Jesus says to Peter, "Not only do you passionately love me," but he connects that up with God's people. There's a connection here. How do you feel about the people in this building today? How do you feel about God's church? How can we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, but not love the people around us? How can that ever be the truth or the actions? You see, my total conviction, especially in the role that I've got at the moment of traveling around working with churches, isn't a lack of finance. There's always going to be a lack of finance, what you want to do. It isn't a lack of manpower, actually. Just look in this room of the potential that God has amongst us. It isn't a lack of opportunity, ideas, energy. I think one of the greatest threats to the Christian church is a lack of love for God's church. Really do believe that. People need to fall in love with God's church again. Care for them. Want the best for them. That's why Paul writes in Philippians, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship from his spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete. What does he say here? By being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and in purpose. I think some of us need to leave the past behind. The critical spirit, the stuff for the hurts of the past of other Christians. If we're truly going to love God passionately, we need to get to that point that Peter got to. And draw a line in the sand and say, Lord, here I am eventually. Use me. It's amazing, actually. I still find Peter's story incredible. Here is one of the greatest failures of the Christian faith. And I say that openly and honestly because I think most churches would never, ever appoint him as a pastor of their church. Denied Jesus, ran away from him, actually went away from the calling. That's where Jesus finds him, isn't it? Back fishing. But this is the person who realizes the grace of God. And Jesus says to Peter, not only love me, but now you need to love my people and to serve my people. So how's your heartbeat this morning? How's your heartbeat towards God? Do you love him passionately? Well, that does mean loving those in this building this morning. But there's another aspect of all of this. Go back with me to Luke chapter 10. How does this passage go? What's written in the law, he replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And he puts these other words here. And love your neighbor as yourself. You see, the church isn't all about me, God, us. The church is about the world that God has made. How do you love them? How do you love the people around you? Well, in your everyday lives, if you love people, you won't steal from them. That means your employers, if your time, money, goods. If you really love people, you won't steal their possessions. You won't cheat them in business. You won't violate their marriage. If you really love the world around, the world that Christ came, the world that God gave his son for, if you really love it, when you see a need, you help supply it. Actually, if you really, really love people in all its fullness, if you see a hurt, you'll go and help people when they're hurting in that place where they hurt. If you really do love the world that God has made, you'll respond to a need and you'll help to fulfill it. If you really do have a love for people, when people ask you to pray, that you will pray and fulfill the promises that you've made. One of the things I've learnt, and I think every single one of us, we don't have a problem, most of us, not all, but most of us, loving ourselves. What do you mean, Gary? Well, this morning, when you got out of bed, looking around, I think that's true for most of us, maybe not all, you went into the bathroom, you washed your face, you had a shower, stuck on all the deodorant, Pete, is that right? You got your comb, you combed your hair, you groomed yourself really well. We don't have a problem, most of us, caring for ourselves. Jesus says, if you love me and you want to love me passionately, you need to love my world. You need to love others as much as you love yourselves. Wow. Hang on a minute. That's really hard. How do you go about that? That's why Jesus then goes into this amazing parable. Have a look. Luke chapter 10. The parable is normally called the parable of the good Samaritan. And in this parable, we're told of three different characters. And Jesus says, you're not going to understand this unless I tell you a story. And he tells them about these three characters. Who is the first character involved? Who's the first character? The priest. If you look at this story in this parable, the priest seems to have a total lack of concern. He's not cared about anybody at all. Then there's the next person, the Levite. He seems to have a bit of a curiosity in all of this, but actually does nothing. Then we get to this Samaritan who has compassion. I find this passage really interesting. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And look at the words here. He saw him, he took pity on him, and he went to him. Saw him, took pity on him, and he went to him. I just wondered, I don't know with him, Simon Orton, if you have big issue sellers. Do you have any down in town? We all see them. In Elsie, we have a lady from Romania that comes and outside a Waitrose selling. Everybody sees her. Most people walk past her. I've asked people over the times how many people have spoken to her, and there's very few. What's the passage says here? He saw him. He took pity on him. That there's something of his heart that was moved here. He had a concern here that moved him from just looking and seeing to act. On several occasions I've gone into Nelsie and sat down with this woman. Now, you have to understand some of the cultural differences here, as well as my accent and her accent is vastly different, of actually just sitting and just talking with her. And all of a sudden, things change. One of the aspects of that change is that actually she starts to smile. If you notice that when you sit down with people, you react to people, they suddenly have a worth about them. One of the things I've also decided to do is actually to buy a big issue. Do I read it? Nah, not interested in it, actually. But you see, seeing, taking pity, means nothing unless you actually do something in all of this. I know some of the people are saying to me, yes, Gary, but people can abuse you, can't they? You know, you can give money away. You can go out helping people where they're at. I've enjoyed being a minister of a church, of doing debt counselling and taking, parenting courses and for children and teenagers. And I remember sitting on the seafront in Eastbourne with a lady popping pills and trying to kill herself because of her life was such a mess. But Gary, what happens with all of that? Have a look at this passage for me a moment, can you? You tell me, how does the person who is helped react? Have a look at the passage. Thank you, Jeffrey. Tell me, how does the person who is helped reacts in this story? All we're told at the beginning, there was a man. That's it. We know nothing about his background. We have no idea if he's innocent. We have no idea if he was one of the robbers that the other robbers turned on in this passage. It also tells us nothing about the man's reaction to those who came and helped him. It says nothing about it. All it tells us is that the Good Samaritan went down to the man, bandaged him up, took him to a hotel, paid the hotel keeper and says, look after this man. If I come back again, when I come back again, if I earn any more money, I'll pay for it. It tells us nothing about his reaction in all of this. How do we love God's world? We see what's in the world. We have an emotional, we take pity, we have a reaction to the concerns that we have in God's world, and we do something about it. You know, it's up to God at the end of the day what he does in a person's life that you help. But doing nothing, well, we just cannot do it. If you truly love God passionately, you'll love his people. If you truly love God passionately, you'll love his world. You will want to serve his world. I'm thankful that when I least expect it, God came to me and made himself known to me. Every single one of us in this room who knows Jesus Christ as our own Lord and Saviour, we know that to be true for ourselves. We didn't deserve it, but he came to us. I also know those he came to, that some of those also rejected him. But did it stop God sending his son? No. How's your pulse this morning? How's your heart this morning? Do you love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Or are you saying, Gary, I'm a bit of a Peter. I have an affection for him today. How's your pulse this morning? How's your love for God's people? Do you love them? Willing to serve them no matter if they come back and slap you in the face? How's your love for God's world today? I mean, willing to serve it, sitting down with people, sharing your life with them, and even them turning around and walking away from you and God. What's your heart like today? What's your pulse like? Scott and the group are going to come up just a moment. Here they come. That was a subtle introduction. And they're going to be singing something to us. And you'll know this song really, really, really well. The one thing I liked about Peter in this story in John 21 is that he was honest. You know, one of the things I want you to be true today is true to yourself and true to God. And we're going to be asking those questions again. Do you truly love God passionately? And this morning, I don't want to go straight from a message and straight for us to sing something which, for some of us, is not true initially. For some of us, we need to come to that point and understanding. I like Peter in this story because he's honest. And Jesus is honest with Peter. They don't play a game anymore. It's no longer messing around and being political about it. They were both just very honest. Peter, I know your heart. I hear your words. Peter, don't try to fob me off this time. This morning I want to invite you not just to say the things in your mind which you think is the right things, but the honest things. That's what changed Peter's relationship with Jesus from here on in. That's why Jesus could use him from here on in, because there was no more game playing. I know Peter did get upset. You see, when God speaks to us, he's honest with us. And he speaks to us directly, and he touches heart, parts of our hearts that we'd long to keep away from him, and especially from other people.
So be careful before you respond this morning. God might be saying some poignant things to you. Be prepared for that. So the group is going to sing to us. And in a short while, I'm going to invite you to come and join them in singing. But listen carefully.